Hallelujah. We're going to continue this morning with a 10-year revisiting of the face-to-face. These are all at the website, both in written form and in audio format. The one we're going to do today, at least part of it, this morning, is called I Flow Into Faith. This is an unusual service. In all these years of ministry, I've never taught in depth what I'm going to teach this morning. I want to preface it like this. Jesus said to his disciples that had been following him for 3.5 years, I'm leaving the planet. I'm going to be with the Father. The first question, can we go with you? No, not right now. Where I'm going, you can come later, but you can't go now. Question, you're leaving the planet and we're not leaving the planet. We're not real sure how we're supposed to follow you now. How is this supposed to happen? So he begins introducing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Don't worry. That's what they were worried about. He's going to leave them like orphans to have to find their own way. And they haven't been following themselves for 3.5 years. They've been following him. And they want to continue to follow him. But if he's leaving the planet, how's this going to work? I'm going to send you this other comforter, the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to be an orphan. He is going to lead you. He is going to guide you. He's not going to speak on his own authority, meaning he's not coming to replace me. He's coming to bring you, my lordship. What he hears me say, that's what he's going to bring to you. And you'll follow me spirit to spirit like you've been following me, my mouth to your ear. You're going to receive it. It's still my mind. It's still my instruction. But you're going to receive it from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. And you'll be able to follow me. Particularly today, I want you to notice what happened here. Because innocently and trying to follow God best I knew how and listening to all the messages of Dave's and watching Dave function in the gifts, just trying to do my best, not with any ulterior motives. This today, what we're going to read today, the Holy Spirit rescued my ministry. I mean, he rescued it on that day. When I say my ministry, I don't mean to replace the Lord. I just mean what he's called me to do. Had it not been for the message of Dave's, especially the part I'm talking about, distinguishing God's voice, and had I not practiced it to the point where I could begin to do that, Sue and I could be miles off course today, 10 years down the road, because we were, on this day, he rescued me from being 1 degree off. And you'll see what I mean as we go through here. Now, as I begin to read this, even though this one is titled, I Flow Into Faith, probably all we're going to talk about this morning is the operation of familiar spirits. How you can innocently begin functioning with them, thinking it's the Holy Spirit. And how many ministries do that very thing. And had he not rescued us, we would probably be on that path ourselves. Now, before I read this first paragraph, I got to tell you what happened that he's referring to. We had had a Saturday service. We used to have a few Saturday morning services, and at the end of it, you know, sometimes I would teach, and of course we'd have a prayer line. Well, we were very new in these things. This is 10 years ago. I remember where I was, you know, just praying for people, and there was a visitor. I'd never seen this particular lady before. And we were just starting out in these things, you know, I mean, trying to understand the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And I come and I stood right about here. That lady was right here. I'd never seen her before, didn't know anything about her. And I'm just stood in front of her, you know. And now sometimes we were fledglings. Can you understand? We were little eaglets starting off. And I had a little bit of experience with a word of knowledge, but not very much at all yet. Well, I was standing in front of this lady and I wasn't getting anything, you know. I don't know why I did it. I didn't think a thing about it, you know. So I just put my hand on her shoulder. As soon as I did that, and I didn't connect that up until later, as soon as I put my hand on her shoulder, it was amazing. Suddenly, I had all this information. I knew she was married. I knew she had 2 children. They weren't with her. But I knew she had 2 children. I knew approximately their ages. And I knew some other things. And I began rattling all this off. And she starts crying because it's all true. You know? And I'm thinking, I'm not saying it, but I'm thinking, cool. Word of knowledge, glory to God, you know. I don't even remember the rest of it. I just remember, you know, whatever it was, and I, quote, prophesied. And I went on to the next one. I was thinking to myself, all right, this starting to work now. Hallelujah. I've seen Dave do this. It's good, you know. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Cool. We're on our way. Yeah, then you go do the message. And here's the Holy Spirit talking to me the very next time I'm alone with Him. He says, you are mistaken to think that the information you received concerning the woman having two children, when you prayed for her in the prayer line Saturday, was the operation of the gift of knowledge. It was not. This was information transmitted from her spirit to yours. Notice you did not receive that knowledge until you physically touched her. I can't tell you the level of shock as I'm speaking, as I'm hearing this and speaking it into the recorder. I'm like, if you can talk with your mouth open, that's what I would. I mean, I was shocked. This is coming out of my mouth. This is news to me. He says, there is a transmittal of information that can come by physical touch from spirit to spirit. Because of your present level of transformation, I cannot explain much of this to you now. You will understand as you mature, and I understand a lot more of it now. Now, these three words are really important. But for now, I must caution you and I strongly admonish you. Do not touch the people who come for prayer until you are ready for them to receive from my supply in your spirit. Never the other way around. Never permit a flow of the spirit from them to you. This primarily comes by touch, and I know you do not as yet understand why, but it is so. This incident was relatively harmless, but many have fallen because they have confused the operation of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom with the operation of the working of familiar spirits. For this reason, I'm instructing you now at this early stage so you will not be confused. Now, let me stop for a moment. I want to not forget to make certain points. The reason that, but for now, he's given me an instruction for that season. Obviously, I can't tell the difference at that point between information received from a familiar spirit and information received from the Holy Ghost. So he says, for now, I don't want you touching them. It's 10 years later. I touch them all the time. I've been at this a while. I've had more than this one training session over the last 10 years. You understand what I'm saying? But we're going to get into some details. I mean, I don't always touch them either, but I'm not afraid to touch them. Okay? And I'm no longer concerned about stuff flowing from them to me. Trust me, you in trouble, you get in front of this. You get in front of this vessel, you're going to get zapped by the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to get zapped by you. You understand me? But I was a fledgling. I'm learning. I didn't even know that there was anything wrong with this until he started telling me. So I want you to get that, because people take these things and they, because I've only posted these 20, well, they think that's all there is. So they start making a doctrine. You never touch the people. He didn't say that. He said, for now, don't do it. For now, don't do it, because I didn't know the difference. You learn with time. You know the difference. Anyway, I got a lot of ground to cover, so I can't tarry too long here in one spot. Okay. Then he says, search the Gospels. See if you can ever find one incident where Jesus touched the people until he was ready to minister from the Spirit within him. He never permitted the flow to be otherwise. Those that the world calls clairvoyant, who operate by familiar spirits? Notice that normally, except for those who are highly developed in these practices, they have to have some object to touch that has been in the possession of those from whom they are receiving knowledge. Receiving spiritual information by tangible touch is dangerous. Familiar spirits are adept at operating in this manner. And I will not have you in communion with devils. Now, just in case you didn't get that, what is a familiar spirit, Brother Gary? A familiar spirit is a devil. I'm going to give you some precise information from the Word about that in a minute, but he defined it for me. There's really only three kinds of spirits. There's human spirits, either spirit of Adam or regenerated in the image of Christ. There's God's spirit. And then there's angelic spirits. And in those, there's two classes. Those that have not fallen and those that have fallen. That's it. There are no ghosts. Those are all familiar spirits manifesting themselves to make you think it's a ghost. We'll get into more of that as we go on here. So he says, I will not have you in communion with devils. Know and understand. When he says, know and understand, he's trying to make a point. Know and understand that it is not required for you to touch the people for me to reveal the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, and everything that I desire for you to have as equipment to minister the mind of Christ and the life of Christ to them. Touch is not required for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. As your helper, I give you strong commandment this day. Now again, he's talking about then. Never touch those to whom you shall minister. Never physically touch them until you are confident that you have received everything that I'll have you know about the situation. Touch them not until you are confident that the supply of the Spirit of Christ within you is sufficient to minister life unto the situation for which they came. Touch them not until you are ready to release your faith in order that the flow of the Spirit will be sent from you to them. Never allow the Spirit flow to be from them to you, never. Notice it's up to me whether I allow it or not. I didn't know how not to allow it then. I know how not to allow it now. You will too if you put yourself in the school of the Holy Spirit. Can you see he can correct you? Are you finding out that he can correct you right quick? Does he talk straight? Even when you think, bless God, I'm starting to arrive now. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He said, no, it wasn't. What? Now he's operating with the devil. What? I ain't been messing with no tarot cards, no horoscopes, no occult of any kind. And all of a sudden you're telling me I got the information from a devil? Yep. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. If I'm starting to get off track, if I'm getting seduced by any kind of false spirit, I need to know it. I need to know it yesterday. Don't want to have to, you know, find out 5 years down the road. So he continues here. Few there have been, and few there are, who truly understand the flow of the Spirit through material objects. Because of your childlikeness, of your understanding at this point, I cannot teach you very much about it. However, I can give you these instructions, which will prevent you from falling into the deception of cooperating with familiar spirits, witchcraft spirits, and seducing spirits. Those are all devils. Simply obey my instructions, son, and as you have been doing, and I will safeguard you from the transmittal of anything that is not God into your spirit. Simply follow my instructions. And he says it again. When you minister, simply listen to what I say to you, and see what I show you by vision, and receive what I tell you by revelation. There is no need to rush. When you are confident that you have heard my counsel in these realms, then when you minister in the name of Jesus, touch them. The flow of the supply of the Spirit of Christ within you shall be one way and one way only, from you to them. As you heed these instructions, I will personally block any transmittal from their spirit to yours, or from familiar spirits to your spirit, or from witchcraft spirits to your spirit. I will keep your spirit holy as you follow these instructions of mine, says the Spirit of grace. No, excuse me, says the Spirit of holiness. Now, at this point, I hope I'm more like Shambach. You know what I mean? You know, they said, oh, Brother Shambach, be afraid. There's witches praying. They've put witch powder over the door, you know, over the mantle as you come in the door or whatever it is, you know, that doorpost thing. He says, witch powder? Where? It's right there over the doors. And he goes and gets it and rubs it all over his coat and in his hair. And he says, now I'm ready to go minister. See, that's the way we're supposed to be.
That's right.
But you don't start off full grown, people. You start off as a novice. You start off hardly knowing anything. And see, the trouble is, as soon as anything supernatural manifests, the slightest, oh, it's got to be God. Everything supernatural is not God. Okay? Everything supernatural is not God. And only the lesson here today, it's real simple. Pray in tongues. Learn, distinguish God's voice. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. You're not an orphan. If you're, this was innocent. I wasn't trying to do anything wrong. And still yet, had I not had the counsel of the Holy Ghost, God only knows where the ministry would have gone. You know what direction it would have taken. We're going to get into that in a minute. Boy, we got a lot of ground to cover, so I can't tarry too long. But he says, for your hope's sake, I will say unto you now, the day will come not far off. Every time he says that, that's usually years. I'm thinking a week, you know. Where your understanding of these things will be such that you'll look back on this day with amusement, that there was ever a time in your life when you didn't understand these things. But as I've previously spoken, you shall completely understand the anointing and all facets of it. Well, that's still in progress. But nothing about the anointing shall be a mystery unto you, says the Spirit of grace. Now you must understand this. Receive this concept, for it is truth. I flow into faith. Boy, if you write anything down, that's the title I put. I flow into faith is the title I put onto this one. Maybe in the second service we'll get into that aspect of it. But he says, I flow into faith. Yes, sir. He says, don't go past that too quick. Is the Holy Spirit able to do anything? This is the Spirit of God. This is the Spirit that was hovering over the face of the waters when the earth was void and without form. Here he is, just this pulsating power of God, just throbbing with energy. I mean, I just can't imagine what, the Holy Spirit. And here's the earth without form and void. And he has the ability to do anything, but he's not doing anything. See, he's God as God. The Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father. And the instant that God the Father conceives, I want light. The Holy Spirit knows that. He's all-knowing, just like God the Father is all-knowing. But he's not moving. He's not flowing yet. You know why? Hope, the image, the concept, is only half of faith. Faith has two parts, not one. The Word, notice in Genesis 1, it says, and God said, John's account of Genesis in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Without Him, without the Word, was not anything made that was made. Why is that? Because God the Father conceived it, but the Son, the Word, He had to speak it. When it says God said, let there be light, that's the Word speaking. That's light be. And that's the second half of faith. God had the image, the concept, I want light. There's hope. There's the image. But that's only half of faith. The Holy Spirit doesn't flow into hope. He is the God of hope. He'll help generate hope. But he does. His power is not released until it's faith. Faith has two parts. Believe in the heart. Say with the mouth. And only when God said, light be, that pulsating power was released. Whoosh! Whatever it was like. Light be, light was. And everything down through there, everything that's created, was not created without faith. Both parts. The image and the Word. That's why you say, well, if God's so good, how come little babies die of cancer? It's lack of faith, not on the baby's part. It's us ministers. It's us that's been trained. Us that should have been trained by now. Now, and it doesn't just happen because it's God's will. Otherwise, why did Jesus pray? Pray. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. The religion will tell you all that stuff that happens to you, that's already God's will, you know. No, it's not God's will. Otherwise, why pray that? There's no cancer in heaven. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. How stupid can religion make us? Well, that cancer is probably God's will. If it's God's will, there'd be some of it in heaven. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Okay, back to teaching, away from preaching just for a minute. But you got to get that. I flow into faith, he says. I thought I knew that 10 years ago. I'm still understanding that simple sentence. I flow into faith. I flow. Get that. I flow into faith. Where there's no faith, he does not flow. We got to say it every way until our brain gets it. If there's no faith, he can't flow. No matter how much it's God's will, he can't if there's no faith. God, that's good stuff. It makes me want to cry. Because it tells me that all the times that I prayed that he couldn't flow, wasn't that it wasn't God's will. Wasn't that it wasn't God's power. Problem was the vessel. The conduit. There wasn't enough in me for him to flow through. And that's going to change. And it is changing. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, forever. And three eternities. Hallelujah. You must understand this. Receive this concept, for it is truth. I flow into faith. I myself flow into faith. When the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus, remember she touched the hem of his garment? She touched him with the touch of faith. And I flowed from him into her. I allowed no transmittal from her spirit unto him. Now get this. I had to go look this up. I didn't believe it at first. Not even so much as to reveal to him who she was. Notice he had to ask who it was that touched him. Now see, time out for a minute. Time out. Because we'll say and we'll tell people, well, he laid down his divinity. He wasn't really operating as God, even though he was God in the flesh. But it's hard for us to believe that he really didn't know who it was. But you go back and he says, who touched me? And yet, a bunch of people was touching him. You know, the disciples said, Lord, this throng, they're all around you. They're bumping into you. You know, what do you mean? Who touched you? Everybody's touching you. But he knew somebody touched him with a touch of faith. He said he felt virtue go out of him. But see, there was no information passed from her to him. He did not know. He really, in his humanness, can I say it that way? In his humanness, he did not know who she was. Finally, she fessed up. She admitted who it was. All right. So he says, I allowed no transmittal from her spirit unto him, not even so much as to reveal to him who she was. Notice he had to ask who it was that touched him. I allowed no information to pass from her spirit unto him. But because she touched him with faith and with no deception in her, because her motives were pure, I was free to flow from him into her, while at the same time safeguarding him from any transmittal from her spirit unto him. No one understand, I'll do the same for you. Now see, a while ago I was using the illustration of babies. There's no doubt. If I pray, it's not the baby is not accountable for its own faith. If I pray and it doesn't flow, then it's the vessel, it's me. But see, when you're dealing with adults, according to your faith, we're going to get into that. See, she had faith herself because she kept saying, saying within herself. She kept saying, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole, or I shall be healed. She believed and she said and she received. As ministers, see, I'd look at you guys now. I don't look at you as sheep anymore, not here, even though we all are. I'm a sheep too. But you're ministers in training. You know that. Some of you are ministers in actuality. And no matter what stage you're in, we got a ways to go yet. But we're accountable for being vessels of faith through whom the Holy Spirit can flow. Amen? Thank God for the training that comes by the Holy Spirit. Okay. He says, I will say it this way to assist your mind in comprehending my instructions. When you are ministering, what he means is like standing in a line, standing in front of somebody. During the information gathering process from my spirit to yours, be sure not to touch the people. Now remember, during that time, do not make a doctrine, please. Do not watch me to see if I touch people. I touch them all the time. But I didn't for years. I did not for years. And we'll get into that some more in here in a minute. He says, don't touch them. Stand and listen. Hearken to what I say to you. Stand and see what I show you by vision. Stand and receive what I give you by revelation. With practice, you'll come to know when the information gathering stage is complete, and you'll know when to speak. Then at that point, when the time has come for the flow of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ from you to them, speak in His name and touch them. Touch them then and not before. In this process, there is safety. And I'll block the transmittal of anything from their spirit to yours. I'll keep your spirit holy, says the Spirit of Holiness. I am pleased with your willingness to keep coming back after every circumstance to sit at my feet and receive corrective counsel. That's probably the most important sentence in there. I am pleased with your willingness to keep coming back after every circumstance to sit at my feet and receive corrective counsel. What if I hadn't? What if I said, all right, that's it. We're on our way now. Got this thing working. Know what to do. We're building a ministry. He says, many have not done so when I have attempted to train them in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of the Spirit, and in the ways of cooperating with me, says the Spirit of grace. Remember, he has not sent us an anointing that is an it. He has sent us a helper who is the anointing. And he trains us how to cooperate with him. It's wonderful. For many, at the first manifestation of anything supernatural, they have become so excited and full of zeal that they run off to operate and cooperate unknowingly with counterfeits of the gifts of the Spirit. Unknowingly, they are operating and cooperating with familiar spirits, thinking truly in their heart that they were operating and flowing from my mind. I am pleased that you come back for my counsel and my correction. Continue to do so, says the Spirit of grace. And I will train you to become expert in all the gifts of the Spirit. I will also train you how to avoid every counterfeit of the enemy. This is one counterfeit. He has many. Did you hear that? Many potential ministries have been lost because of their failure to come back for corrective counsel once they break into the supernatural realm to any degree at all. Be not as those. Continue to sit at my feet and hear the counsel that I bring to you from the Father and from the Son. Herein is safety. Herein is wisdom. Herein is training that cannot be excelled. You have chosen well, son. You have chosen well. Now, from that point, he begins talking more about faith. And we'll get into that probably the next service. Now, one thing I want to point out to you, nowhere in there did he tell me, I want you to do a vast study on familiar spirits and become expert in knowing everything about familiar spirits and the occult and spend the next 10 years studying all the things that you can find on familiar spirits and wizardry spirits and witchcraft spirits and become expert and build a whole thing about. Did he say any of that? What did he say? Listen to me, boy. Could practice, he said. Keep ministering to the people and let me teach you how to do this. So I have not done extensive studies on familiar spirits or any of those other things. I've done just a minor little bit over these 10 years. What I have focused on is spending time with the Holy Ghost, meditating the Word, praying in the Spirit, and letting Him train me how to flow in the genuine, not the counterfeit. I'm not an expert on familiar spirits, but I do want to share with you a few things that I've gleaned over these years. You can go ahead and be turning to Leviticus 19. We're going to look at two verses that are pretty close together. You can try and take notes on this, but there's going to be quite a bit of information. Better off just to get the CD later or the MP3. First off, these are things I've learned, just some summary quickly. First off, familiar spirits are demons. Get that straight. They're just evil spirits. They're fallen angels. They are under your feet. Get this. Okay? There's really nothing to fear. It's just a matter of learning how not to be influenced by them. I'm not afraid of no familiar spirits. I remember that one. I've told you this one before. Some of you weren't here. I'll tell you again. One of my earliest encounters with... See, he mentioned seducing spirits in there. That's still just a demon. But some of these things, they have more particular function. And I remember we were at a fellowship with a group of believers at their house. And this one lady, I mean, I wasn't doing... You know, Sue was there. And we're just a bunch of people at the house. And it wasn't... Everything was fine. And this lady walks by. I mean, I've known her for a long time. And none of you know who she is. I mean, she was just a reasonably attractive lady. She's nothing outstanding, you know, but she was just reasonably attractive. But she walked by me, and I'm telling you, I could almost see that devil. I had the perception, now she didn't turn and face me, she just walking by, but I could see almost, I can't say, it's like there was a spirit in her that turned and looked at me. And that thing said as it walked by, I could seduce you if I wanted to. Now this was a long time ago, and I've just got to tell y'all, I didn't always look like this. I'm 61 now. I had a lot more hair. My hair was darker. My pear was an apple in those days, you know. I mean, you look at me now and you know, okay. You got to get a different picture. Things were different. But see, that was a familiar seducing spirit. It and if you followed that lady's history, you know, which I do know it. Yeah, you see the operation of that devil throughout her whole life. She's kind of like that woman at the well, you know. Yeah, you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. That's kind of this lady. Well, anyway, but they're just demons. They're just fallen spirits, fallen angels. You have total authority over them. Don't be afraid. The chief characteristic of a familiar spirit. Now, this is deep calleth unto deep. Its chief characteristic is familiarity. Demons have personality. They communicate. They reason. They decide. They express emotions. It's easy to develop a relationship with one. In the same way that you develop relationships with other humans, you can develop a relationship with these demons. They are personalities. And these particular ones, they love to counterfeit the personality of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Mediums are where they're most commonly found. We're going to look at one of the most famous ones in the Bible, which is the Witch of Endor, that Saul, he counseled with that one. So in the same way, again, I want to just like you can develop a relationship with another human and you can become very familiar with that person. Well, you can also become very familiar with these demons. Okay? You can either do it on purpose. Now, some of the things that people do, some people are purposely delving into the occult. I mean, Donner would be the one to teach, or someone with a history like Donner, who on purpose decided to delve into the dark side, you know, you know, and find out how to get power and how to get these demons to cooperate and do things. He can tell you stories, raise the hair on the back of your neck, you know. But see, you can do it innocently. A lot of Christians open the door to these things. Just tarot cards, palm reading, horoscopes, fortune telling, Ouija board. There are just all kinds of things that you can do to start entertaining these things. But in my case, I wasn't doing any of that. I mean, I just ministered in the line. I'm, you know, yes, sir. Okay, now's the time to bring this in. I wasn't going to do it till later, but what causes this? What makes, you know how Dave says that the devil, you know, he's got a plan for all kinds of people, even those that are full of zeal. He has a plan. Well, he has a plan for people that are genuinely wanting to help people. I mean, I've watched Dave, and you've watched Dave. Man, and that word of knowledge come, that word of wisdom come, and man, don't you admire that? Well, I do too, and I want, you know, so now I'm on the firing line, you know, I'm on the line, and I want the person to receive something from God. It's not, you know, I want her to receive something. But see, when you start wanting something to manifest, you start longing for it too much, that's what opens the door. No, trust me, you don't love that person more than God. You didn't get that. Part of what opens that door is, God, you're not showing me anything. Surely you want to do something. Surely you do. So something in you just is unwilling to accept that he may not have a word for them. And it opens you up to other realms. Didn't even realize I was doing that. You don't love that person more than God does. You don't want to help that person more than God does. If he's not showing you anything, keep your mouth shut. Just pray a nice little Gary prayer. You know what I mean by Gary prayer? Be blessed, be healed, you know, be, you know. That's how you can always pray that. See, that's one of the early things that we really appreciated about Dave. I mean, I've seen Dave minister. God, you have too at the conferences, you know. I mean, they just line up from exit to exit, and they finish that row, and the next row gets up, exit to exit. So then Dave was going to get smart one time, and so he had me and Bronk and Jim Martin and how many? There was like five or Christy, and there was like five or six of us. You know, I don't know for sure Dave thought this, but I think part of the idea was, well, maybe that'll help. No, they just go from line to line to line. It doesn't speed things up at all, you know. But anyway, let's go on with this a little bit. Okay, the primary characteristic now of a familiar spirit is communication. What they do is the passing of information. Did you find Leviticus? Look at Leviticus 19:31. It says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Okay, for a second witness, you're close. Go to Leviticus 20. See what the penalty is for this. Leviticus 20, verse 27. As soon as you read this, you're going to be glad you're in the new covenant and not the old. Leviticus 20:27. "A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. So shall stone, they shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them." How serious is this? Well, see, it's a counterfeit for the Holy Ghost. It's a counterfeit. We're not really going to get, I can see, I'm not going to have time to get much into the Witch of Endor. Make a note, study it later. If you want to read the whole incident, Saul was, he was in progressive, this is King Saul we're talking about. He was in progressive disobedience to the Lord. He just kept disobeying. Well, then he's trying to find what to do, and because of his disobedience, the Lord wasn't answering him. So he got impatient. I mean, I still, just knowing the mercy of the Lord, if he'd just kept on, the Lord would eventually talk to him. But he got impatient. Anyone ever get impatient? So what he did, he went to a woman, a witch, who had a familiar spirit. And you can read about it in 1 Samuel 28, verses 7 through 25. That's the whole incident. Supposedly, she conjured up the spirit of Samuel, who had been dead already. You know, that wasn't Samuel. That was a familiar spirit imitating Samuel. Devils do not have power to raise saints of God. Now, come on. There's no medium going to be able to raise Samuel. Are you kidding? Get it straight. That's a familiar spirit. That's why it says this woman had a familiar spirit. It's what they do. Another one that we can look at. You can turn there if you want to. It's Acts 16. While you're turning there, I'll just give you this. Like I said, we've got a lot of information here today. Another one you can look up later, just make reference of it. This is where it specifically tells you that King Saul died. Part of the reason was because he consulted a woman with a familiar spirit. And it's in 1 Chronicles 10, verses 13 and 14. I'll quote it to you. "So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord." He thought he was inquiring of Samuel, but he was inquiring of a familiar spirit. So that's 1 Chronicles 10, verses 13 and 14. In Acts 16 here, we have this woman. Let's just read it. Three verses, 16 through 18. It says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer." As what? They weren't preaching, were they? They were going to prayer. They're just walking down, going to prayer. "And a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." She's a fortune teller. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And the trouble of it is, if you just take those words, they're accurate. These are the men who are the servants of the Most High God. Why were they there? To show them the ways of salvation. But she's doing it in a manner that's going to bring gain to her employers. She is the power of God in this region. She is the soothsayer. If you want to know what's going on, you come and you pays your money, you takes your chances, okay? You find out from the soothsayer. So she's validating, she's not really validating their ministry, she's validating her ministry. and her employers. Paul picked up on that right away, and so the next verse says what he did about it. It says, this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. It was a devil. Now, because they did that, that's what got him and Silas beat up, thrown into prison. All that stuff happened. Sometimes there's consequences for obeying God. But now, for the purpose of today's lesson, here's my thing. Where did that woman get that information? It just says that Paul and Silas and the bunch, they're on their way to prayer. Doesn't say she ever heard one message taught by them. Doesn't say, where did she get that information? How did she know these men are from the Most High God and come to show us the way of salvation? How did she get it? It says she had a spirit of divination. It's still a devil, people. It's still a fallen angel. Now, I got to have... No, I can't pick on anybody on this one because I don't want you to relate it to them. Let's just say that for picture purposes that it's me and walking with me. Let's say I hadn't have learned this lesson and I've got a relationship with a familiar spirit. I don't know it's a familiar spirit. I think it's the Holy Ghost. But I've got a relationship with a familiar spirit. That's what this lady had. It's really on the inside of her. I'm just for teaching purposes. Let's take, that situation. Let's take her and that familiar spirit, her and his spirits walking along. I know, now we need someone to represent Paul the apostle. Mark the good man. Here's Paul the apostle. All right? Now, y'all think there's any devils in Paul? This is not a test. Come on now. No, there's no devils in Paul. Oh, you thought about Mark. Oh, no, he's Paul. He's Paul. So come around here in the front where everybody can see real good. Okay, so here he's going on his way to prayer, and here I'm this fortune telling lady. Picture that, and I got this familiar spirit. Do y'all do know that the Bible says that demons were assigned to Paul to destroy his ministry? Okay, if you can picture a whole host of demons that's been assigned to bring down this ministry. Now, there's a demon that I'm familiar with, and there's a whole bunch of demons that surround him, that's been attacking him everywhere he goes. I mean, their whole assignment is to bring this guy down. So here I'm coming along, and I got this familiar spirit. It's a devil. I don't know it's a devil. And he sees these buddies. Hadn't seen him in a long time. They're all surrounding Paul. Hey, how you been? We've been trying to bring down this Paul ministry here. Everywhere he goes, he raises up churches and gets people saved. Well, what's he called to do? He's been called by God to bring the way of salvation. Really? Let me communicate that to my host. And maybe she can make some money off of this for her masters. Can you see that? That's what familiar spirits do. They communicate information. You can be seated. Thank you. Give Paul a hand. Mark the good man a hand. Most of that information they're picking up from other devils. Yes, sir. Okay. There is such a thing as reading the human spirit. We're going to get into that here in a minute. The woman had never heard... These are my notes, not the Holy Ghost. The woman had never heard Paul preach. Paul and Silas and the rest of them, they were on their way to prayer. How did she know anything about Paul? She knew it through information passed to her by that familiar spirit. How that familiar spirit knew, we're not told for sure, but it seems to me that it would have been easy for the demons that had been assigned to Paul to pass that information to the demon operating in her. That's what these spirits do. They communicate information. Okay? Now I'm going to quote you some more. Just write these down. There's too many. We're not going to make it. We need to make it to the end of this lesson. Deuteronomy 18. This is from verses 9, 11, and 12 put together. Now see, the promised land is a type of the abundant life. We're supposed to possess our promised land. What is our promised land? I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So anytime you read anything about when you come into the land, that's a type and a shadow, things we're to pay attention to regarding our abundant life. Okay? This is one of those. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9, 11, and 12. When thou art come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you a consulter with familiar spirits. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Clear enough? Now, the question is, what is the attraction? How can you even innocently get drawn into those kind of things? I wasn't trying to do anything wrong that day. Part of the problem has to do when you begin greatly desiring any kind of anointing to operate all the time. When you start lusting after an anointing. Now, we're told to covet the gifts. Covet is a pretty strong word. Covet. We're told not to covet anybody else's goods, but we are told to covet the best gifts. Okay? But that does not mean you go beyond the Holy Ghost. Many ministers have fallen into this trap. And especially if they start obtaining a reputation for operating in it all the time. After all, a man can become widely known in a short amount of time if he could operate in the word of knowledge accurately any time he wanted to. Did you hear that? I don't think I ever said what I started to earlier about Dave. One of the early things that really recommended us, I mean, just really commended, we've seen, it's when I was talking about those times when those lines would come, you know. And Dave would just prophesy and prophesy and prophesy. Then at other times, though, I'd see other lines. And he'd just walk the line, and he might have a word for every fifth one, tenth one, none of them. And then he would say this, and this is what so greatly I knew as a man of God. He says, well, I'm just not like those other ministers. I can't prophesy anytime that I want to. If he's not speaking, I can't prophesy. Boy, you need to write that down. I mean, you need to somehow make record of that. You don't love these people more than God. You're not wanting to help them more than God. To stand there and almost demand a word for them, that's where you start opening a door that's not really God. If he has something to say to them and he wants to say it through you, learn how to hear him. And if he's not, learn how. That means also you're learning when he ain't talking. And if he isn't talking, pray a Gary prayer and go on. You know what I mean by that? Normal prayer. It's always good to pray, be blessed, be healed, what, you know. But beyond that, leave it alone. But see, you have to watch ulterior motives. The heart, you know, we have to watch our own heart. Think about it. There are ministers who have a reputation. You have to be careful you don't develop some kind of reputation that somehow you have to prop up yourself. You know? Well, tell you one thing, if you go to that guy's meeting, you'll get a word from God. Every time. Well, now you've got to perform. Which means, if you've made up your mind you're going to prop up that reputation, that means you're going to have a word for them even when God isn't talking. There's more than one way to do that. If a person could operate in the word of knowledge accurately anytime he wanted to, couldn't he build a ministry pretty fast? See, but the only safe route is not lusting after that kind of thing at all. The only safe route, I only want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I only want to say what the Holy Spirit says to say. This was some notes I took quite a few years ago. You don't need to know a whole lot about it. But I'm not one to embarrass anybody or give you any clue who it was. I'm not even going to tell you what church it was in. But this was happened to be a lady minister. She was ministering, and I was just watching. This was after I had known these things for a while, and this was several years later, and I had learned, and I'm still learning today. But I'd learned quite a bit from that first experience. So I was watching, and she was going down the line, you know, and it was a big line. Everybody got in it, practically. I didn't. By the way, just because I don't get in a line doesn't mean I don't believe in that line. You can't start judging that either. Okay? Well, is Gary getting in the line? I'm not getting in the line. Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Don't try and draw any conclusions. You won't be right. So, well, you don't know what's going on the inside. You're just guessing. Anyway, I watched her, and I noticed that almost immediately, every person she stood in front of, she took their hands immediately. And then she would listen. On the few occasions where she didn't take their hands, she touched them in some way physically, either by laying her hand on their chest or their cheek. By this method, she was able to gain access to their innermost hopes, dreams, and fears. She was gathering information. Clairvoyants would say she was reading their human spirit. They even call them readings. Her words to them were very gentle, having the tone and inflections of a good shepherd. She was extremely accurate. Now, how I knew that is I knew those people. I knew them. I knew what their hopes and dreams. And she didn't know them, but I knew them. Everything she'd say, right on the money. Well, what would you think if you was in that line? Well, this is God. But then I noticed that when she would begin to, quote, prophesy to them, it was amazing. Apparently, God's will in every case was what they already had in their heart. A lot of ministries function that way all the time. I can almost do it at will, to be honest. Because I've done this so long, I can stand in front of a person, and if I allow it, and I don't have to touch them, by the way, now. If I allow it, I can get a reading pretty accurate. And I can prophesy back to you just exactly what you want to hear. And then get a nice offering. I checked this with Dave years ago because I started seeing it more and more with other many men. I checked it with Dave. I said, do a lot of ministries operate like this? He said, oh, yeah. He says, way more than we'd like to say. A lot of them operate like this. Now, see, here's the difference. I want to make sure you understand. Most of you that's, everybody knows Oral Roberts. And if you've read his books, you know that before he got saved, his aspiration, what he really wanted to be in the natural, he wanted to be governor of Oklahoma. He just tells plainly. He always aspired to be, and he was going to go to law school and do all this. And his goal in life was to become the governor of Oklahoma. Well, how many of you know God had a different plan? That wasn't God's plan for him. But see, a person that operates by these familiar spirits and learns how to read information like that, they would stand in front of somebody like Oral Roberts in the early days when he's just a new Christian and formative and very persuadable, influenceable, you know. And they would stand in front and they'd get a reading, and it's a passing of information to them, and they would see plainly. And it's amazing. Oh, now here it comes. They perceived from him that he has this intense desire to be the governor of Oklahoma. And they would start to prophesy. Oh, the Lord has shown me. Thou have been called from thy mother's womb to be governor of the great state of Oklahoma. And I want you to know, yea, thus saith the Lord. And here you go. That's the way they do it. But the trouble of it is, God no more intended for Oral to be the governor of Oklahoma than anything. They're just prophesying back to you. And I hate to say even prophesy. They're just regurgitating back to you what you already want in your heart anyway. They do this with women. It's terribly regarding husbands and marriage. And a lot of them do it to they see someone who's intellectually gifted and maybe got a little money. Well, suddenly God has called them to be such and such in the church, and it's a promotion to a eldership or something. And really, what they're wanting is their money and their abilities, and they're going to put them to work. What Alan called the harness. They're going to put the harness on them now, put them to work. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. Okay, all right. So I was watching this, and the thing of it is, this lady was absolutely 100% sincere. She was not trying to do anything wrong. What the Lord was really showing me was, had he not corrected me, that was me. That was our ministry just a few years down the road. Thank God for praying in other tongues. Thank God for distinguishing God's voice. It's worth any price, people, to start getting your own training. Now, see, and again, I know you're getting from this, but all you're really studying right now is one man's little walk with the Lord. Me and Sue. He's trying to take us. That's all of this you're seeing. He's trying to get us at that time over into the clearing that he calls operating in the gifts. You're just seeing the training in that one step, that one maturity of our calling. There is so much more than this. And even if you study this, you're just studying his training to us. I want to hear about his training to you. You're going to have to get your own training from the Holy Ghost, and I have no idea what he's called you to be. Rudy over here is called to be, in the financial arena. There's more devils there than all the rest of the world put together. Like Dave says, you're going to swim with the sharks, are you? You better fly with the dove first. You better get your training. Those waters are full of sharks. Well, they all are, actually. All right. As I watched her, though, she was very sincere, and the people were blessed. You ought to heard all the good words about the service. Yeah, it was wonderful. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. I just knew the Lord had called me to that. A few more observations, quickly. By that method of ministry, just observations, there was very little release of power. Out of about 200 people that I watched her minister to that way, there was not one manifestation of healing. And I noticed there was no manifestations of devils being disturbed or agitated at all. Why not? They were leading the service. You hate to say it that way, but that's exactly what was going on. They had to minister by the nose, and they were leading the service. The vast majority of the ministry was simply repeating or regurgitating of the reading obtained from the human spirits of the people. To them, it was like they were getting a confirmation from God of what they already knew in their heart. But the truth of the matter is, any psychic or clairvoyant could have done the same. I know that that minister's heart is pure, endeavoring to serve God alone. Yet the Holy Spirit has warned me that this method of reading the spirits of people by physical touch is an occult practice, and there is much danger of unintentionally functioning in that sort of ministry by the operation of familiar spirits rather than by the Holy Ghost. We read in the Gospels where Jesus knew what was in the hearts and minds of men. Remember that? Several times. But he received that information directly from the Holy Spirit without the need of physically touching them. I have researched the Gospels in this matter in every case. And where we are told that Jesus knew what was in their hearts, not once is it recorded he touched them first. He received that knowledge directly from the Holy Spirit, not by reading their spirit, by familiar spirits. Hallelujah. As the people kept hearing the words from God that she was delivering to those in the line, more and more kept coming up because they wanted to, quote, hear from God also. I kept asking the Holy Spirit why they were so hungry to come up and hear a word from the Lord through this lady minister. And his answer to me was, because they have absolutely no confidence that they are able to hear me for themselves. We're not to be as one of those. You are in the right church to learn how to hear the Holy Ghost for yourself. You are the baton. Dave and I and Tim and Alan and everybody else, Travis, anybody who teaches here, Marinelle on Tuesdays, we're all trying to pass you off into the hands of the Holy Ghost. You need to hear him for yourself.